Okay, good afternoon, everyone. We're going to begin. We have 3:10. Okay, first a little bit of an update about Pastor. Actually, he had intended to be here. Today would have been his first word back at Youth Worship for the period that he's been away, but he had to go for a procedure, actually. So he had to go back into the hospital. On Thursday, he went back into the hospital to do a procedure because there was basically a cyst on his kidney, and that had to be drained of fluid. So he had to go in there, and it was a hospital stay of Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Okay, so he's right now recovering from this. So just to give you an update about what's happening. So I'm here to stand in for him, actually. The outline that you will see next week of this message was prepared by him. Okay, so I'm going to do my best to do some justice to what he would have said. Please pray for me. No, but it's always a privilege to be up here to speak. And thank you. And of course, a great challenge to do so. Now, today we're going to look at the two other tribes from Deuteronomy 33. And that's Dan and Naphtali. Okay, I'm going to encourage you to read the prayers made for these two tribes from Jacob and Moses. Okay, so today we're going to do quite a lot of comparison work. So Genesis 49, Deuteronomy 33, you have a bookmark, just put it there. And read for yourself first the prayers for these two tribes. And see if you can pick up the differences in the way that these two men pray. Okay? And later on, the scripture readers are also going to read in comparison. I ask them to bring out the differences in the way they read. How they do that, I don't know. We will see. You try. Give it a try. Okay? So we prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's word all the time, so that when we do receive it, that word can take root in our heart. Okay? Okay, let's prepare our hearts for worship. Okay, let's pray as we begin this afternoon. Our Father in heaven, we come to you, and once again, as we seek to worship you, we pray very much that our hearts would be good ground for the word that would be shared today. We ask that the word would take root, and in the course of time, that perhaps there would be fruit that will come from it. We ask, Lord, also and pray especially for our pastor, as he looks at this recovery period, that you would grant to him a very special and dear presence of yours and your own sense of preserving him. We ask that you grant to him this special grace. And we ask that you bless as we begin this youth worship. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Youth Worship. Now, my name is Audrey, and this weekend, I'm especially grateful to be back here in church. This afternoon, it is my joy and privilege to be able to lead us all in a time of worship. If I may begin with a question, you know, what are some places you like to go to? For some of us, hot places, cold countries, and for many of us, our travel plans bring us great joy and excitement. And these are some things that many of us look forward to, especially during the school term or through the long working days. My family and I recently came back from a short trip to Vietnam, and it was our first family trip together in 4 years, and so we were very excited to spend the time together all again. And while it was definitely an enjoyable time away, and even as we tune into the morning worship service online to worship with everyone, there was no place I had longed to be more than in the house of the Lord, especially on a Sunday. You know why, you may ask? And my reason is because the church is the dwelling place of my God. And this brings to mind a song that was written for us for Family Camp just 2 years ago, titled The House of the Lord. Now, this song shares the joy and love of being in the dwelling place of our living God. This is a special thought that we can have even as we come to church here this afternoon. And the sons of Korah share this in Psalm 84, verses 1 to 2, where it reads, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God." When the church is God's dwelling place, it is His house where He is present. And as we come to His courts, we come to worship a living God. He is our Heavenly Father who speaks to us through His word. And we are His children, and we can find joy and comfort in coming before Him as we praise Him, as we listen to His word, and as we serve Him together. Now, our God is so great and mighty, yet He gives us this privilege to serve Him in His house. Now, the sons of Korah also expresses this joy in verse 10, where it reads, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." When the sons of Korah had a humble role in the house of the Lord, you know, and that was just to be a doorkeeper. They just tended to the physical needs of the tabernacle and assisted the priests who were there. You know, but they loved doing so more than being anywhere else in the world, because their God and King was most precious to them. And as we come to the Lord's house, you know, let us be mindful that it is our living God who calls us to His presence personally to come to worship Him and to serve Him. But the church is not just where God is. It is also where His people are, and where His people gather together. And we can find a joy as we gather to praise the Lord together and encourage each other in faith through the learning of the word. The song "The House of the Lord" is inspired by Psalm 122, one of the Songs of Ascents, where David shares this sense of excitement as everyone from the different tribes came and gathered in the Lord's house to give thanks to Him. In verse 1 and 4, we read, or he says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord,' where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord." There is truly much joy and thanksgiving we can find in gathering in the house of the Lord. Now, the church is where God dwells and where His people are. And there's much of the Lord's goodness we can share and His name that we can really praise together. And let us sing of these wonderful truths as we take our first song together, The House of the Lord. For your singing, and thank you, AB, for supporting and the musicians as well. Now, we gather in the Lord's house not only to offer songs of worship to Him, but we are also here to be spiritually fed by God's Word. You know, when I was younger, I used to struggle to find the importance of learning the Lord's Word. You know, I came listening to the Word preach attentively on the outside. But you know, inside, I was only looking out for the things I wanted to hear or I felt were relevant to me. You know, outside of these things, my heart was just uninterested to read or to learn at all. And in particular, the lessons from the Old Testament were the most difficult, as I found the content just so hard to relate to. You know, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, it reads for us, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, when I learned these verses, it made me realize that my approach to learning God's word was wrong. Now, the truth is that every word of God is written for us by God Himself, and is profitable for us. They are for us to know more about Him. His word corrects us and instructs us in the way we ought to live as Christians, that we may be equipped for every good work that He has prepared for us. But even as I'm older now, I must admit that learning from the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy here at Youth Worship still remains a challenge. But rather than dismissing them as difficult or irrelevant, I'm learning to incline my ear to listen, to apply my heart to learn. Written in Matthew 13, we read in the parable of the sower, of how the word of God is just like a seed. It is a seed that is sown within us. We do not know how it will grow, but God's words are precious truths that we must actively accept and receive in our hearts so that they can grow. But the Lord Jesus also warns us of the danger of the evil one who will come and snatch the word of God away from us. Now, this is when we do not diligently seek to understand the word that we hear. And so I'm challenged to come with an open heart that diligently listens, accepts, and seeks to understand God's word, just in case the evil one takes it away from me. The next song I have chosen for us to sing is Ancient Words. Now, the words of this song capture the preciousness of God's word for us. As we continue learning from Moses' final prayer, may we also have a greater consciousness of how these are words that have been inspired by God to be passed down to us. They reveal to us more about who He is as our God. And as the lyrics of this song also says, they are words of life, words of hope that can give us strength and help us cope through the challenges of life. And this is our encouragement that we can have in our hearts. And may we come with open hearts to allow God's word to be planted in us. And may I invite you to join me in taking up this song together.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we will be reading Jacob's Prayer for Dan and Naphtali, as found in Genesis 49, as well as Moses' prayer for those tribes in Deuteronomy 33. Genesis 49, verses 16 to 18. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, a viper by the path, that bites the horse's heels so that its rider shall fall backward. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord.
We will now be reading Moses' prayer for the tribe of Dan from Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 22. And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan.
Genesis 49, verse 21. Naphtali is a deer let loose. He uses beautiful words.
Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 23. And of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess the west and the south.
Oh, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you to each one that has been involved in today's youth worship service. There is so much that I need to unlearn and learn about making a pastoral prayer. One of the lessons that I'm learning is about what I'm conscious of when I make such prayers. In both his song and his prayer of blessing, Moses chose to begin with the greatness, grandeur, and the glory of God. There was a heightened consciousness of God's greatness, and he did not just rush into his song, or did not just rush into matters to bring to God in prayer. And so this afternoon, I am learning to be conscious of the greatness of God, even as I make a prayer for each one of you. It is my prayer that we may also learn to be conscious of His greatness as we consider our futures. If there are uncertainties that overwhelm or fears pertaining to our futures, may the knowledge of God's greatness shore up and strengthen our faith in Him. Well, let's go to God in prayer this afternoon. Our Father in heaven, this afternoon as we pray to you, help us have a heightened consciousness of your greatness. As we remember what we have been reading here at Youth Worship, may we acknowledge how great you are. We have also seen how you have been present with Pastor and Auntie Sally and have protected them. We have witnessed how you have provided for Bethany all these 53 years too. Your greatness is indeed undeniable. Father, in our midst, there are some who are worried about their future. They may struggle with fears and anxieties. They may worry if they are going to succeed or fail. Help us learn not to dwell on ourselves and our circumstances alone, but teach us to focus on your greatness. As we dwell on the truths of your presence, protection, promises and provision, may we find much comfort, peace and assurance in you. And as a result, may our faith be strengthened further. All these we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, thank you very much. Scripture readers, well done. Did you catch the little changes in the voice as they tried to read the two prayers? Well, that was quite well done. Okay, now we're going to turn to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to turn to chapter 33 and also hold Genesis 49 open. Okay, I will have to do the same. All right. Okay. Okay, now, as we come back to this text again, we've been spending quite a bit of time on this text already. Then, what is it that we are really learning from this whole series from Deuteronomy 33? And I want to say that, firstly, we're not just learning lessons about the tribes themselves. We are actually learning lessons about prayer. And if we were to look at it very carefully, Deuteronomy 33 is a prayer. And there is much about prayer that can be learned. The big question here is, how can we learn to pray a little bit better? Okay? Now, you will notice also one other thing that we've been doing quite a bit is we've been comparing the two prayers of Jacob and Moses again and again. I would like to first say a little bit about what we are doing as when we compare these two prayers. And what we are not doing. Okay, what we are not doing, we're not trying to say that they are to be merged in any way. Okay, this is not two prayers merged together. That's not what we are trying to say. We're not trying to say that Moses' prayer was in any way built on Jacob's prayer, because they are two different prayers, right? What there are very significant differences that have to be noted to begin with. Okay, first, time difference. Okay, because Jacob's prayer was made a good 300 to 400 years before Moses' prayer. That's a very, very long time. It could be even more than 400, actually. 400 years of difference between two prayers. You know how long is 400 years? It's the difference between us and the 1600s. When was the 1600s? 100 years after William Tyndale died. That's how long ago that is. It's a very long time. So you cannot easily compare as if it is the same prayer. It's not the same. Okay, and we're going to note some of the differences that are very significant. Okay, one, Jacob, this context was very much a family context still. How many people were there in Jacob's family? About 70. That's a very big family. But still, it's a family. Okay, and his sons were growing their families, and soon they would become tribes. But at the time of the prayer, not yet. Okay, so that has to be very clear. Moses was praying for the entire nation of Israel. 600,000 over men, altogether perhaps 1 million over people. Is there a difference between a family prayer and a national prayer? Yes, there has to be. Okay, what are the differences? The one was more family. The other, Moses had in mind the specific tribes that were there. Right? And that's very, very clear and very obvious. Jacob was praying very much as a father. You will see this very shortly. Whereas Moses was praying as a leader and as a man of God. Is there a difference? Yes. So why is it that we are comparing their prayers in the first place? Because in comparing the prayers, it gives us a glimpse of the prayer lives of these two men. And it, you see, this is the truth that we need to begin to understand. Prayer actually reflects the intercessor. If you really want to know what the prayer life and the relationship with God that this person has, listen to his prayers. Prayer reflects the intercessor. How a person prays reflects his faith, his life, his walk with the Lord. So by examining both these prayers carefully and comparing them, we will then learn lessons about what makes how we can pray a little bit better. So I hope you can understand. Okay, so we are not putting them together as if they are the same. No, they are not the same. They each have their individual value. But there was Moses praying and there was Jacob praying. So what are the differences? Okay, so today we're going to look at the two tribes of Dan and Naphtali. And we're going to take these two tribes as an example of how they prayed differently. And through these two tribes alone, you can see already some differences. Okay, I hope you can begin to spot them already. Okay, now let's go into it. This is the prayer for Dan. So let's start with Jacob's prayer. Okay, so let's go to Genesis 49, verses 16 to 18. All right, now we read here about Dan. Okay, Dan shall judge his people. Firstly, Dan, the name itself, means judge. So Dan was, this is where Jacob was reflecting his own hopes, prayers for his son. Okay, so this is a person called Dan, and the name literally means judge here. So Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. This is the good part. This is the father's, this is the prayer that reflects the relationship between father and son. That element is there very much in Jacob's prayers for his sons. Because remember, the family context, the father relationship. Take a look before we go further. Look at 49 verse 1. Okay? And Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." Verse 2, he began with this. "Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father." So obviously the whole context of this is father and son. You see the opening? It already sets the tone for the kind of prayers that he would make. So when he prays for Dan, it reflects the relationship. This is Dan who is judge. Okay? So Daniel is, God is my judge. That's what it means. Right? Now, this is the positive part, but there's also a negative part. Verse 17, we read this. "Dan shall be a serpent by the way, a viper by the path that bites the horse's heels, so that its rider shall fall backward." And this is the negative part of it. What was Jacob warning about? He was warning of treachery. And you see, some of these insights are only possible because the father knows the son. You see, so we won't be able to see this because we don't know what Dan was like in that sense as a person. There's very little mention of him as a person, but the father would know. And he sees this person, his son, and he knows, one, he hopes that he can be a judge, but on the other hand, he also knows the weakness that is inside him, the sin that is possibly inside him. And he brings that out and says, this could happen too. And so the prayer becomes a mix of positive and negative. Why? Because he's a father. And that's how he sees this particular son. I hope you understand, because this is something that maybe when you're a parent, you will understand a bit more. You think that your parents don't know you very well. Actually, the parents know each child and they know their differences. Right? I have two boys and I know that they are different. They have yet to fully show the differences, but I have an inkling right now because I'm their father. And my relationship with them enables me to know them. So when we read Jacob's prayer, we have to bear in mind this part of it. There is a family element. There is a father-son element. There are personal elements, and he puts that into his prayers. You see the thing here? But what results is that there's negative parts, there are also positive parts. He sees this of Dan, he thinks this of Dan, and he makes his prayer. That's Jacob's prayer for Dan. Okay? Now, let's turn to the Deuteronomy 33, and let's compare a little bit what Moses said about Dan. So let's go to 33 now, and in verse 22, right, and we read this here. And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. Now, this is a very different... Straight away, the metaphor has changed. From a snake to a lion's whelp. A lion's whelp is basically the young of a lion. It's a young lion. A young lion reflects strength, reflects energy, reflects vigor, reflects life, and growing sense of majesty. This is what a young lion is. I don't know if you have ever seen lions face to face, but I tell you, they are very intimidating creatures. If you see one nearby and it growls at you, it is very intimidating. And even a young lion has that quality. So what did Moses see about Dan? See, Moses wasn't praying with these personal elements in mind. Firstly, he was looking at them as a tribe. What did he see about them? He saw that he could be strong. He saw that he saw the potential in him, not as a serpent, but as a lion. How did he see that? Right? And so, that's what it says. He shall leap from Bashan. So Bashan is actually the northern part on the other side of the Jordan, and is well known for being a very fertile area. In other words, this would become his territory, and he would be able to, he would have a lot of these good things. That's a very fertile area, and it's well known, that area. So you see these two things in here, and you realize straight away that the prayer is different. So what does that mean? What then is Dan's future? Which one? Is it a serpent or a lion? Very different, you know. If somebody tells you you'll be a serpent and another person tells you you'll be a lion, what will you be? And then we begin to realize that that wasn't the point of prayer. Prayer by itself does it determine your future? In pastor's own words, yes and no. Yes, because it could be. No, because there are many factors outside of prayer alone. There's a personal factor of what Dan himself or what the tribe will be. And then there is the will of the Lord. There are many things that we do not know. And so in looking and reading these prayers, we are not saying this is what Dan will be. That's not the point. That's not the point of the prayer. But you see a difference in the way they prayed, because the prayer reflects the intercessor. Moses prayed the way he did because that's him as a prayer, a man of God and a man of prayer. Jacob prayed the way he did because that's him. As a father, as a person who relates to the children, and he prays that way. And what you see then are two different prayers. Moses' prayer is a whole lot more positive. Right? I mean, which would you rather be, serpent or lion? Right? I think you'd rather be a lion. I mean, right? What would you want to be, a serpent? Moses' prayer was a whole lot more positive. And he saw in them potential, whereas Jacob only saw weakness, that one day he would be a person who would betray. See, so if you, just on this tribe alone, can you see already the differences? Now, if you were to go back and read and compare the other tribes, you will also see many differences. So are they the same prayer? No. Right? They are not. because the intercessor is different, the prayer is different. You see? So now let's take a look at, for example, let's take a look at Naphtali for a while. Okay? So let's turn to back again to Genesis 49. Okay? Now, let's look at verse 21, all right? There's Naphtali there. Naphtali is a deer let loose. He uses beautiful words. Now, what does this mean? What is a deer let loose? In the early days, in those times, deer was commonly regarded as game, meaning to say these are animals that are hunted. So a deer let loose is a deer that was caught and then let loose by the hunter or the predator, whatever that may be. Now, that doesn't say a lot about Naphtali. Would you like to be called a deer let loose? We've got those animals so far. We've got the serpent, we've got the lion. You want to be called a deer let loose? It means you get caught by the enemy and then you'll be let go. Wow, wonderful. It doesn't say a lot about Naphtali. It doesn't say a lot about his qualities. It doesn't say a lot about his strength. It doesn't say a lot about anything much. It's just that he got caught and he's now let loose. Well, there's one redeeming part of it. And at least he said he uses beautiful words. So he can speak very nicely. Maybe lots of poets will come. But that's as far as Jacob thought about this son. Oh, that's not very good. If your father had one thing to say to you, and he said you're a deer let loose, but you use beautiful words, I don't think you will rejoice. You don't feel very good about that. But that's, you see, again, what was controlling Jacob's prayers? Personal elements. Family. Father, son. This is my relationship with my son. This is my personal knowledge, understanding of what my son can be. That's it. That's all he can be. Therefore, his prayer reflects that. It's limited because it is personal. You see? Right? So this is Jacob over here. Now, let's look at Moses. Okay, so let's go to Deuteronomy 33. Then we go to Naphtali, verse 23. And of Naphtali, he said, "O Naphtali, satisfied with favor, full of the blessing of the Lord." This is the message title for today. Right? And he says, "Possess the west and the south." Now, this is a very different picture of blessing now. Full of the blessing of the Lord. The other one, nothing. Nothing much to describe about him. But Moses would say, this is not a deer let loose. This is a person that will receive the full blessing of God. This is a person that will be satisfied with God's favor. Again, what did Moses see? The positive side of things. What did Moses see? The potential that lay within the tribe. This is Moses and his prayers. Now, for this first part of it, do you see the differences between how they pray? Then you can look at these two tribes and you can look at the other tribes too, and you will also see differences. The question now is, what is it that makes, why are there such differences? What affects the prayer life of a person? What is it that affects? Why did the two of them pray differently like that? And I just want to share with you three thoughts this afternoon about the things that make a difference in the way that they pray. Okay? Now, first and foremost, this is what has to be noted, okay? Prayer is not prophecy, that we have already stated. Okay? Prayer can defer. It doesn't mean that something is prayed for means it will come to pass. We got to get that right, okay? So what we read doesn't mean, say, how come it's not fulfilled? That's not the point, all right? Okay, this is number one. Now, two, we got to look at how we can pray personally. But let's examine these two persons who pray. What made a difference? What made Moses' prayer so much more positive? What made him see things differently? Now, this is where we have to understand not just the prayers, but the prayer life of the persons involved. Right? And this one requires a little bit of background knowledge. But this is where Jacob is. When he prayed, it was family, it was personal, it was limited to that. But take a look at his prayer life. Was it a very, very strong prayer life? if we were to examine it very carefully in the book of Genesis. He had few significant prayers, right? And they are few and far between. The word I would use to describe it is sporadic. It means a bit, some one here, one there, here and there. But you do not see that kind of really consistent prayer life. When he first, the Lord appeared to him, that's one significant moment. When he wrestled with God, that's a second significant moment. But other than that, do you see that prayer life? And now you compare that with Moses. Moses' prayer life, the word is sustained. From the very moment that God spoke to him at the burning bush, Exodus 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all throughout his time in Exodus, the most cited phrase is, the Lord said to Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses. That is a sustained prayer life. Throughout the time in the wilderness, was it sustained? Yes. It was Moses at Mount Sinai who prayed for to spend time with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights in prayer. Twice over. And the second time round, it is written there, and he neither ate nor drank. You tell me, can you do that? 40 days, 40 nights? We all die. This is Moses' prayer life. Is there a difference? Yes. Very much so. Sustained prayer. It was Moses who was there interceding for Israel at the Golden Calf incident. It was Moses all the way through praying in touch with God up to this point of time in his life. Does it make a difference how he would pray? Of course. What makes a difference in the way we pray, our prayer life? And the way we pray reflects our prayer life, conversely. This is the great challenge of praying. Because it is not just a single moment. If it was about a single moment of prayer, well, that's not too hard, would it be? It would just be up here and pray. But it's not. It's the prayer of a person, and the significance of it is shaped by his entire prayer life. That is why prayer is such a challenge. That is why when we come up here to make a pastoral prayer, it is never about the prayer we make here. It is a life of whether we have a prayer life to back it up. This is the difference between Jacob and Moses. If you were to go back and read their entire prayers, you will see the difference. This is the challenge of it all. If we wish to pray better, it is not about the prayer you make in one moment. How beautiful the words are. Maybe you're a descendant of Naphtali. It is not about that. But about your consistency of a prayer life sustained. This is the first challenge when we look at these two prayers or intercessors. Right? So this is the first thought that I want to share with you. And the second thought is this. What is it that makes a difference in the way that we pray? The word is, it's a simple word, but very important, faith. What was Jacob's faith like at this point of time? His faith was, he had a faith. But at this point of time, when he prayed in Genesis 49, it was not a terribly strong or vibrant faith. Why? You don't see it very much in his prayer. His blessing was father to son. The way his perspective was father to son. And that limited his prayers. He couldn't see beyond that. Right? So if you were to look at Jacob's prayers, not all were very positive. Because at the end it says, this is the blessing with which Jacob blessed his sons. But Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, all were negative. There was nothing positive at all about these three, the first three sons. Where's the faith part of it? Now, it was not very strong. So, some positive, some negative, some positive. Judah, Joseph, very positive. Why? Because good relationship. Because they are good sons. Because he loved them. So, pray. And then some in between, like Dan, mixed. Some good, some bad. Naphtali, nothing much. You see the way, and I tell you the truth, many of us actually pray like this. Because we can only see what is personal to us. We can only see what we think and what we feel. This is common, actually. actually better than common, I would say. Common is worse than this. This is Jacob's way of praising. Now, but if you look at Moses' prayer, go back to 33, okay? And you'll see this. Look at his prayer. How did he begin? Jacob began with, gather sons, listen to your father. How did Moses begin? The Lord. The Lord came from Sinai. Consciousness of God, consciousness of the word, consciousness of the presence of God, consciousness of the greatness of God, consciousness of the love of God, consciousness of the kingship of God. This is when Moses began. And this is also where Moses would end his prayer. It will be God in the beginning, it will be the Lord at the end, and the focus all the way through is his faith in God. What does this suggest to us? His faith is that God can make a difference somehow. It's not that he doesn't know the weaknesses of the tribes, but his faith is in God, clearly. And because he has faith, his perspective in prayer changes. Whereas Jacob was a whole lot more personal. Some, it varies, some good, some no good, depending on what is personal. Moses' perspective was a faith perspective. And Moses would look at each tribe and see what is positive. He would look at each tribe and see potential, not just weakness. That's the faith perspective. So this is what we see very much in Dan and Naphtali as well. Serpent, lion. Naphtali, deer let loose, full of the blessing of God. Is there a difference? Very much so. Why? Faith. And this is why faith is a critical part of the way that we pray. It changes the way we pray. So if you really want to know how whether you have faith in the way you pray, listen to your prayers. Is it very personal? Is it very negative? Is it? Listen to your prayers. And you tell me whether we can really apply faith in the way we pray. Faith does something to the way we see things. It turns it positive. It brings out what is best. And that was Moses' prayer. He wanted the greatest of blessings for the tribes. And his faith enabled him to see that it was possible, that the potential is there. This is the second part of it, faith. How much faith do you actually apply when you pray? A lot of us take a very personal approach, and we cannot go beyond what we see, what we think, and what we feel. Moses' example stands out here. It wasn't about what he thought, what he felt. It was his faith in God. The Lord can make a difference, and he is going to pray for that. This is the second thought that makes a difference. Now, what's the third thing that makes a difference in the way that, in how we pray? Now, this word is closely related to faith, but this is the word that we call hope. Hope and faith are closely connected. When one really has faith, hope can be generated very strongly in the heart. Hope is with reference to the future. Moses' prayer was a prayer made in hope. Why do we say this? Very strongly, why do we say this? Because the context of Deuteronomy 33, or rather the chapter right before it, is Deuteronomy 32. And what does Deuteronomy 32 say? What's it all about for those of you who have been here? It's about the rise and fall of Israel. Deuteronomy 31 and 32 predicts what will happen to Israel after Moses' death. And the Lord had already said this very clearly, that Israel is going to forsake him and his covenant. They're going to disobey, they're going to worship foreign gods. And he told Moses, write this down in a song and bear witness of this when it happens. This song will be a witness against them. And so the song was written of their rise and their fall. You see, Moses knew the trend, the inclination, the trajectory of Israel. He knew. He knew that they were going to fall. He knew that the problems will come. He knew. And yet, in 33 verse 1, we read these words. this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Can you imagine that? Knowing how they will go, that they will go down, that they will fall, and he still prayed a prayer of blessing. Many of us, why bother? We already know what will happen. Instead, you give up, we feel frustrated, we feel discouraged, we say, give up on these people. Not Moses. You know why? Hope. The realm of prayer is, to Moses, the realm of hope. Is it possible that the people can still come out blessed? And he would pray for every single tribe, every single one positive. Imagine that. 100% positive. Everyone. And he would pray for them that this would happen from the very first, Reuben, Judah, Levi, everyone. He sees potential. Everyone he sees that they can be more. They can be better. They can be blessed. This is hope. Hope is not when everything is in your favor and is fine. Hope is when everything seems to be against and yet you will pray. Yet Moses will continue to pray because this is what he knows. This is his understanding. This is prayer. What makes a difference? Jacob's hopes were tied in with the individual. If Judah is good, his hope was that they would turn out well. If Joseph is good, his hope that they will be tremendously blessed. But if the individual is not good, nothing much to say. Naphtali, nothing much to say. Right? Simeon and Levi, let them be scattered in Israel. His hope was tied to the person. But Moses' hope was in the Lord, that the Lord somewhere, somehow can make a difference in the future of these people. You see, these are the things that make a difference in how we pray. This is why, you know, one person can pray in one way and another person can pray in a completely different way. Why? One, it's the person's prayer life. Two, it's the strength of the person's faith and focus on the Lord. And three, is a very precious element that we call hope. These are the things that make a person an intercessor who he is. These were the things that made Moses stand out. These were the things that made his prayer different from Jacob. So as we come down to it and we ask ourselves, what are some lessons that we can learn today about prayer? Well, these are the lessons. One, I want to encourage you, it's not just a matter of praying there and then. Cultivate a sustained prayer life. I'm afraid for many of us, our prayer life is more sporadic than sustained. When the exams come, when the worries come, school selection comes, after exam, we pray. No use already. Gone already by then. Unfortunately, our prayers are often more sporadic. What made a difference in the way that we can pray for ourselves? One, it's a personal prayer relationship. Sustain the prayer. Now, this is not an easy thing to do, especially at a young age. But this is something really worth trying. Because what really counts to God is not how beautiful you pray. It's whether you really have a relationship with Him. A sustained, close relationship with God. And I want to encourage you to cultivate this. How do we do this? Well, we begin with praying sincerely. We begin with praying regularly, frequently. And this is where we can begin. Okay? Two, continue to develop faith. We must pray with faith. If we don't pray with faith, do you hear yourselves? I hear myself sometimes when I pray. How come so negative? How come full of worries and fears? How come I'm just pouring my heart out to God, all negative things? Where's the faith applied? A lot of times, it's not there. And so we find ourselves, our faith, you know, it limits the way that we pray. What are we looking for? Keep growing in your faith. And your prayer life will develop alongside a pace as well. Because faith will change how you see things. Sometimes you're just very negative about a lot of things. You don't see, you see yourself, you see serpent. You see yourself, you see deer let loose. You don't see the lion part of it. you don't see the blessing part of it. What is it that changes the way we see things? Prayer. It's not about pride. It's not about what you think you can be. No. It's just faith to believe that God can do something better with your life than what you have right now. This is faith. It makes you positive. It gives you an understanding of your potential and what you can be for the Lord. This is why faith is very, very significant and important. And finally, pray with hope. You look at your own future, what do you see? When Moses saw the future of Israel, he was not trying to imagine that is not there. It was very clear to him what was going to happen. The Lord told him, and he himself said, "I know that you will turn utterly corrupt when I'm gone." And yet, he prayed for them like this, with such hope, such positive tone, in such a positive tone. And to see them, wanting to pray for them, to see them go beyond what they think they can be. This is prayer. This is prayer with hope. When you look at your own future, what do you see? Sometimes we cannot see much. This is where we learn to find and exercise that hope. It's simply in the Lord. So he began his prayer, the Lord. He ended it, the God of Jeshurun. Because that hope is to be found in him. And this is how we can cultivate our prayer lives a little bit better. Now, this is where I see some of these things here. And you know what? You know it's not easy. Firstly, developing a prayer life. How long does it take? It takes a very long time, right? Two, how do you really pray with faith? Depends on your faith. How do you grow in your faith? It's going to take a bit of time. How do we find hope when things seem against us? It's going to take time. So what do you do besides personal prayer? Ask somebody to pray for you. This is where we seek intercession. And I want to encourage you, look, this is why we have a church community. This is why we have a youth worship group here. If you really are struggling with prayer, you're struggling with fears about your future, you don't know where things are going to go, and you don't know how to pray either, ask somebody to pray for you. Somebody a little bit more mature, someone a little bit more godly, someone who prays a little bit better, and you never know how God will hear the prayers of that person for you. This is intercession, right? So this is where the challenge is for each and every one of us. For those who are a little bit younger, can you develop your prayer life? The answer is yes. Is it going to be like Moses? Are you going to pray things like, "Dan is a lion's whelp"? Daniel Chu is a lion's whelp. You're not going to be, don't do that. Don't do things like that. That will be false and that will be wrong. Okay? So don't do things like that. But can you develop your prayer life bit by bit? Yes. First, we've got to learn how to walk closely with the Lord. Well, there are many challenges learning how to do that. Even I, as a pastor, do I still face challenges learning how to walk closely with the Lord? Absolutely. Right? Will it be an easy thing to do? No. But can it be done? Answer is yes. Right? And then, what else can we do? We pray for each other. We must pray for each other. Right? So here's Audrey. She just entered the ministry. You think it's easy for her? You might think it's easy, and she will tell you it's not. Because she's very pressured, right? A lot of children's devotion, and so on and so forth. So what do you do? Well, she's going to ask her sister, "Alina, please pray for me." Then Alina said, "How? I don't know how to pray." "Never mind, all pray. Ask somebody else to pray." This is where we got to look for each other and say, let's care for each other. Let's pray for each other. And you never know along the way whose prayer God will hear. Right? So here's Pastor. He has a procedure that has to be done. What are you going to do about it? You go to the hospital and do something about it? Obviously not, right? So what are you going to do about it? Well, pray. Pray for him. Right? It may be that the Lord will hear your sincere prayer for him. But this is where we develop that sense of community. This is where we develop the sense of concern. And this is where we begin to learn how to pray for each other. And if we can do that, then that will help us a great deal. Prayer is not an easy thing to do, but we all got to begin somewhere, right? And we all can begin learning how to walk closely with the Lord, learning how to sustain a prayer life, learning how to have faith, learning how to have hope. Right? So talk to one another, pray for one another, right? Don't just talk about all kinds of things, but you don't actually talk about the things you need prayer for. What's the point? Right? We talk about a lot of things, talk about this, talk about that, talk about a movie, talk about fashion, but we don't talk about the things that actually trouble us, that we need prayer for. Why? Why do we do that? Talk to each other, pray for each other, and then we can learn to build that community of faith and of prayer. And that will help us a great, great deal. Okay? So think about this and be challenged by this, and I hope you would be challenged to go back and read for yourself. Because the more you read it, the more you will see the difference. Jacob, Moses. And then you will realize that the way Moses prayed was really quite different. And what really made a difference for him, his walk with God, his prayer, his faith, hope. And thus he was called Moses, the man of God. That is quite a different, a very special title given to him because of his standing with the Lord. Perhaps one day the Lord can raise you up to be a person of prayer too. That is our hope. Okay, well, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come to you. And Lord, as we read and understand your word a bit more deeply, we begin to realize the challenge of really praying well. And Lord, we pray that you help us to be encouraged to begin a prayer life, a walk with you, somewhere, somehow. Teach us, Lord, to sustain this prayer life, to be challenged by the example of Moses. Help us to cultivate this faith so that the way we pray can get better and better. Help us to find hope when there are things that are against us, when we feel overwhelmed by our circumstances. Help us still to find that hope in you. We ask that you would teach us many lessons of prayer along the way, that you help us to draw closer to you. We ask that you grant to us this grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, well, press on in your journey of learning to pray, and we learn together. as a community. That's what it means. And to the younger ones, I want to encourage you to talk to us. If you've got challenges along the way, difficulties along the way, let us know. And then let us pray for you. And that would be the best. Okay? And then we can be a bit more in touch, a bit more concerned for each other. Let's build this sense of wanting to pray and wanting to pray for each other very much. Okay? Well, thank you for being here.